I said, no, I really smoked it. And I also inhaled, unlike some people claim.
Hey, everyone. It's episode 2 of Canny Biz, the cannot of the cannabis industry. That is me, Wade McElwain, joined by Sean Sanderson and Craig Anderson. And we're here to talk
about it. Hey, fellas.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello, everyone. Right? It's the cannots of cannabis. Sean, you're still there.
Yes, I'm still here.
Exactly. All of us. Three Canadian people. Young men. I would say young. We're still young at heart.
Young at heart, mate. Yeah.
Young at the heart of the cannabis business, I think. But there's a lot of changes going on in cannabis. And I mean, from what we've grown up with. And the weed news, I guess, because that's what we want to start with. The weedy news. Because I live in London, England, and you guys live in Canada.
Right.
And weed's obviously like it's a felony here. So it's like heroin. But in Canada, you can buy it in a store. The problem, I guess, with Canada as well is like people aren't buying in the shops as much because it's big in, you know, your uncle and other people can do it. What do you guys see? Because like the whole industry, they're saying, oh, Canada is not a great example. Canada's not working. How is Canada working?
Well, look, I think there's some interesting things with Canada, especially for other countries that are looking to enter into this space. I mean, if you look at an organization like Canopy Growth, and I mean, there's lots of these companies are chasing the weed industry dream. You know, a few years ago, you know, they're sitting with, you know, $3-4 billion of cash on hand. And now they're issuing more stock just to cover debt. And they're not the only ones, right? I mean, they're laying off people, they're over capacity, the factories are underutilized. And, you know, again, is there too many weed stores? Who knows? But the reality of it is it definitely tells you a story that the supply is outstripping the demand. And that I think is more interesting than, you know, what's happening to these companies is why is supply greater than the demand that's out there? And is it because really there's not that many people out there that really want to have weed on every corner? And maybe it's actually the thing it solved is it's decriminalized it and reduced the excitement of going for weed. Mm-hmm. Or is it really a situation where it's being supplied through other means, the means that were there before these weed stores opened?
Yeah. I mean, Craig, what do you think? Go ahead.
Well, yeah. Funny you should mention. Yeah, you mentioned your uncle and the guy next door selling it. Honestly, where I am, it's a little bit north of Toronto, small towns. I haven't come across anybody, you know, selling, even talking about it. It's all from the stores up here. As far as there are places where if you really go looking, you can find it. But honestly, yeah, the stores are the cornerstone of it in the small towns here.
Do you think it's because you're a foreigner? Because you're like you're a foreigner and no one wants you there? I mean,
it could be. I do still feel like an immigrant. I'm still learning Canada ways, relearning.
So is Craig the fake hippie?
He could be the fippy. Let's put it this way. In small town Canada, if you wanted to buy an ounce, would you go to these stores? But or do you know someone? Because I, an uncle, someone, if you're going to buy an ounce, which is fine, but these stores are very pricey. But you know, and if people are allowed to grow four plants, which we all know in the countryside, that's 400 sometimes. Someone's going to sell you it for a really good, like a chemist, an alchemist is going to sell you really good weed. So why would you want to go to the store, I guess?
Well, but I don't get it though. I mean, I disagree with this one because first of all, at the store, I mean, to a degree, you've got packaging with fairly specific information. So you know exactly what you're getting. I used the example of like those vape cartridges. I mean, how long do one of those things last? I mean, you would know, Wade, but I mean, I think they last for a decent amount of time. They're not that expensive. I mean, we're talking like what, 15, 20 bucks? I mean,
$40 for a good vape cartridge, but there's a lot of hit off of that. There is. And we also talked in the previous podcast about how we don't like our children vaping. But yeah, no, you get a good hit off of it and a good amount for it. Yeah.
How cheap does it have to get that you have to go to a guy that's, selling it out of his basement that you have no idea what he's selling?
But that's liquid. That's a liquid artificial, right? Some people are purists. And it's one thing if you go to these shops and you can buy, hey, I get a pineapple blueberry thing for a little bit, but if people who just smoke a lot of weed want to buy volume, and that's why I think the industry has underestimated it, that there's people that want to buy from Uncle Jim and buy an ounce every week, because I know people that smoke an ounce a week and you're not gonna not you, Craig. I'm not outing you.
No. Quite honestly, I am a microdoser. Before it was a thing, that's what I was doing.
But you're laughing because we know that there are people that smoke an ounce a week. And why would you go to a shop?
Yes, indeed, there are.
Why would you go to a shop?
No, absolutely. In that case, absolutely. Go find the dealers. Absolutely. But for just the average Joe who's maybe getting into it, or like myself, the vape pens are convenient. I don't like that I don't know exactly what's in the oil and everything. It's very convenient though. Small amounts of leaf for a one hitter, I'll just go to the store here. It's just as easy. But again, I don't know exactly how and where the government's getting it. But it's on the flip side, unless you know Uncle Joe's source, then it's the same thing.
But for an economic standpoint, though, too, I mean, these are people that are smoking way more, and I guess that's what the weed stores wanted, is these people smoking that amount. But, the sort of, the flip turn is, why would they buy it from there? Mm-hmm. And there are people that smoke a shit ton of weed. But you're not going to buy it. You're going to buy occasional stuff. It's like, a little flavor, but it's not something.
No. All right.
So what is it about $2.50 for an ounce in Canada through a store? Is that about right? I mean, I'm not a prolific.
I have no idea. It would be great if our listeners could tell us that $2.50 an ounce. I don't live in Canada anymore. So Craig,
I'll research that.
Should
I think that's about right though. What I mean, you guys, obviously not experts, but what would it be if you were to go to your local guy for an ounce?
When I was in university, it was $60, but that was in Western in like the 90s. And
I think they were still playing silent movies when you were going to university.
Look, the music was way better in the 90s. Everything was better in the 90s, and I'm not going to get into this podcast. But the 90s were better, and we all know it. And weed was better. And Pat, we all know Pat from you guys. Sean doesn't know Pat. Craig knows Pat. Remember Pat?
Pat.
Anyway, you shouldn't bring up names in a podcast. He's not real Pat. This guy used to get his weed, but he was ethereal, one of those ethereal. Anyway, he was imaginary. But he was a weed guy in London, Ontario. When we used to go to university, used to get stuff, man, the hash oil, like golden, crazy, crazy stuff. I don't do that here. It's illegal. But back then.
No.
But I would never do that because I.
You got it out of your system back in uni. Yeah,
exactly. So mushrooms, right? Let's talk mushrooms for a second, if we can.
Sure.
Because this seems to be like the Wild West. Like now that weed seems to be legal. Montreal has now really pushed on mushrooms. Like there's shops
and
BC
as well. Yeah.
There was that guy who's like, I'm going to legalize everything. He died, which is sad, but mushroom seems to be this new frontier. And I mean, I think we all know as a psychedelic, it's beautiful. I've never done it, but it's beautiful. So Is this sort of this new frontier? I guess is that, do you guys see it in Canada? I mean, in Europe, it seems to be something people are pushing for.
Well, I think the medicinal aspect of it alone can help so many people. Absolutely, everybody should try it. It will reset your brain, your body. So I think it's absolutely it should go.
Are you running commercials on the side here?
I'm open to that, perhaps. Yeah.
Well, I have joked because you're a proponent of psychedelics, right?
Mm, absolutely.
And Craig has actually been an advisor to, like, a guide to people, to, you know, help them on those experiences. Which I said he should call himself a trip advisor.
might be trademarked.
I've heard that somewhere before.
But I think those actually, that is a job of the future, and this is an underestimated job. Like, because there are, I think people need a trip. Like mushrooms is a very happy drug. It's a very happy drug. Like,
no, I think it has a interesting place because it crosses over into the realm of, you know, the other, you know, I would say the other more illegal drugs that are out there that people, you know, like to have. I mean, I think mushrooms is that if you can buy it legally would be one of those things that, hey, as long as it doesn't upset your tummy, you're probably into it, right? It's a good in between where you don't have to be carrying something that's deemed very illegal. So for sure. But I think, again, the weed industry in Canada is a cautionary tale to any other industry that wants to grow rapidly, because as much as I think it's great, because I think the decriminalization or legalization in this case of cannabis has actually probably made it in some ways less appealing. So it's not one of those things that everyone's got to have. It's not one of those things you can try, but you don't have to be, like, you know, chasing it. I think the same thing is with mushrooms. I don't think you're going to all of a sudden find a huge amount of the population moving to, you know, psychedelics. I might be wrong on that, but I think that's the case. And I think internationally, all these countries that want to open and legalize, I think they should be carefully monitoring what they, you know, how they build the industry. Otherwise, the industry just folds in on itself and then there is no industry.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting point when you talk about that. And I mean, the cautionary tale about Canada and where it's at now. I mean, is Canada a cautionary tale? I mean, is it a shining example, or is it something that's like, well, maybe we did it okay?
Yeah, well, it's an example of how the route that Canada took. Did it work? Is it working? Is it not working? Definitely an example to learn from.
Well, we don't know. And obviously we want people to reach out to us in this podcast, because we're of three newbies in terms of this. But we want to learn this sort of information. But from what you learn, I mean, America, you know, the big cautionary tale there is the federal government doesn't support it. So as much as you could do something in your local state, you could crush it. But there are limitations when it comes to banking, when it comes to, you know, giving rights to your employees, when it comes to moving merchandise and or going between state boundaries. In Canada, which we all know is a bit socialist, which is a socialist country, which a lot of players involved, is it fair? You know, and every province has its own way. I mean, how could we value? Is there any way for us to value which province is doing better?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it this way too, is that, you know, we've continued to run liquor stores through prohibition and post, and there seems to be more pot stores than there are liquor stores these days. And I would say the number of people that drink liquor is still much higher than, you know, do cannabis. I just think that I don't think it's a bad method. I'm not against the government being involved. I think that there's the regulation, there's a safety aspect to it, which I think for anybody that's trying something that's completely different adds a great element of, you know, comfort. of course, there's taxation as part of it, which is what probably creates most of the costs associated with going to the cannabis store. But the reality is, I mean, you don't need one of these things in every single strip mall. And that's what it feels like. No. I mean, driving through Alberta, it does not matter. You can go to the grocery store and next to it's a co-op cannabis store, you know, and then down the way is, you know, Bob and Ted's, you know, great cannabis adventure and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I just don't get it. It doesn't make sense from an economic standpoint that there are so many stores, and these aren't small stores. We're not talking like a single shelf. We're talking big footage, lots of area, everything in fancy glass cases. I mean, it just seems to be over the top for something that is, you know, quite a simple product.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely oversaturated with locations to buy. Absolutely.
Sean, if I can also ask you, I mean, because you've recently, you've been in Ontario, you've been in Quebec, Alberta and British Columbia. Have you noticed a difference in terms of, as you say, the proliferation of these pawn shops and the way that they're dealt with? Or the way that they're seen publicly?
Yeah, so I mean, I think demographically, you know, there is an age group that is 18 to 30 that love cannabis in every form. I mean, it's kind of part of their everyday lives. I would say when I look outside of that 30 plus group, it seems to be there's less and less. I mean, it doesn't mean that it's not there, but there seems to be a hard following, and then there's nothing, right? It's smaller. And then speaking specifically geographically, you know, when I was in Quebec, I didn't even really notice the stores so much. So again, part of it, you know, I wasn't really looking, but I didn't really feel them. I was in the city. In Alberta, I mean, we're more spread out, more rural, even though you're in a city like Calgary, they seem to be in every single like shopping center where there's a grocery store, a liquor store, there's a cannabis store or multiple of them. And then in Ontario feels just very, you know, regulated, just like the LCBO, right? You feel they've got an iron grip on it. But again, there seems to be more than enough of them. I noticed more in downtown Toronto than I did in downtown Montreal. And again, I don't know anything about the localization or provincial rules around it, but it just seems like Quebec has maybe restricted the number of stores a little bit more than some of the other provinces.
What about Vancouver? Has anyone been to Vancouver lately? Because it's like, no. that's sort of our drug, you know, Bikini True. Island. It's our Bikini Atoll, where it's like, okay, we just.
It's everywhere in downtown Vancouver. I mean, there are, again, large, and I mean, there's stores. There's a big store on just off Granville. It's got like big red ropes and, you know, red carpet. It's, you know, it's one of the old. I think one of the old bars off Granville that they turned into a weed shop, but you go inside and it's like, it's, you know, it's pretty fancy inside. Right. And again, I don't get it. Right. It's those shops have been existing forever before it was legal, and now they're legal, and, you know, people have dumped all this money into it. I don't understand how the economics change.
Well, it's funny here because the difference in the UK is there's old buildings and old, like old pubs and theaters that are being caught growing weed. And you know, it's not like people are trying to do a massive crime, but it's just growing weed in a theater. It's like, oh, they grew $1 million worth of weed. It's like, well, because it's such a class drug here, because it's such a fine, like it's like heroin.
Right.
growing weed is such a penalty. Whereas in Canada, you see fentanyl, you see Vancouver, you see a wave coming. And it's the scale, you know. We talked to earlier, and I sent you guys the news that Scotland, basically, we have the highest drug deaths in Scotland, has the highest drug deaths in Europe. It's fentanyl. What's not fentanyl yet? It's heroin, not with the touch of the fent. And Scotland has basically said to the UK government, you know, screw you. We want to decriminalize it. And the UK government said, no, you can't do it. It's interesting when the UK government in the UK, we, you know, as I say, I live here, and we grow some of the largest amount of medical marijuana on the planet. The just hyperbole and it, it's a difficult thing to sort of look at, and you sort of go, you know, how is it fair? You know, when one small territory, Scotland, wants to fight against Britain, do you guys ever look at it from that?
No, the UK government wants to decriminalize.
No, Scotland wants to decriminalize it. So Scotland has the highest drug deaths. We have the
right.
It's all heroin.
Okay, right. So they're looking at,
and they want to decriminalize all drugs, and basically say, look, if we do criminalize all drugs, just like Portugal did, like Uruguay,
right? I was just going to say,
we do criminalize all of it. It's easier because then, you know, mm-hmm. you know, it's also a poverty issue. You know, like we have to look at this. It's not a drugs issue. It's a poverty issue. It's an economics issue. And drugs sometimes just sort of wash into that. So
I feel like we've turned into the macro microeconomics podcast right now, but I think drugs, to your point, Wade, you know, look, drugs are fun, you know, they can be, but you know, a lot of things about drugs are related to, the difference in economics between different people. And that's caused, you know, the deaths and overdoses and all those things. And Vancouver or BC is trying the same thing. It'll be interesting to see, you know, I think it's been 6 months now, or it might be a bit longer, that BC has gone down the route of decriminalizing 1.5 grams of anything you want, right? And whether that's had an impact or not, I don't think it happens overnight. I think it takes a while to be able to see, but it's if it works, right? If it has an impact, it's hard to argue it.
No, and I mean, I think 1.5 grams of everything you want is a great title for a city. Like, what a way to welcome tourism. 1.5 grams of everything you want. Whatever you want. Like, why wouldn't you use that as a rallying cry? But I mean, like, come on, the drugs, man, it's just fentanyl. I don't know why. It's stuck in me.
Yeah, honestly, I hadn't heard of it until coming back here. So yeah, it sounds like a very scary thing to but going back to buying off from Uncle Joe or the guy down the street.
Do you want his number? I will give you his number if you want.
Can you trust
him? He lives in Muskoka.
This fentanyl stuff is not in it.
The problem with fentanyl is that originally, I think, to, you know, kind of Wade was alluding to, it was put there because, you know, you could buy something for $20, you know, an ounce versus $100 because it was basically laced with fentanyl. And the fentanyl was so strong that, you know, it costs nothing. But the problem, as Wade has, you know, probably seen in the media area or the entertainment, is that even the high quality, I'd love to use air quotes right now, high quality.
You can use air quotes. Like, it's a podcast. It works.
You can see them, right? I got them.
I
up.
See them. No lines are up.
Okay, good. But the thing is, this high-end or high quality stuff that's more wealthy type parties and stuff like that, it's not protected from fentanyl, right? There's nothing that stops it from entering, you know, that type of situation as well. So once it's entered, it's really tough to weed it out, right? It's it doesn't just disappear overnight.
Except in weed. But it's like,
yeah, just say no pun intended. Weed it out.
There was actually a pun intended, but it's like lemon zest, you know, or like, you know, that sort of truffle oil, like,
or garlic and every chef's exactly. Once they get into it,
and they use it, but there's that fine balance. It's like, oh, people will be addicted. It's like, oh my God, I've got Jonestown. You know, I just accidentally killed a whole bunch of celebrities' kids. You know, there's that really fine line, and that's the fine line of those people. And you know, I think America is trying to stop it because fentanyl is made quite easily and quickly in China. Sorry, I got to say the country. that's where it comes from, a lot of it.
China.
Yeah. Killing your clients is not good business.
Let's talk positive things at least for a second.
Let's do that.
I want to move on to positive things. So Malta. you know, Malta, right? They've legalized cannabis. They've legalized
nice.
Well, they're doing everything. So what also Malta has done is they're looking for that Cali sober thing, but they've also going to offer to open up bars, cannabis
nice.
Bars, cannabis bars where you can smoke cannabis and have bars and like
okay.
have bars, but like be in a bar and like have drinks and be in Malta, the beautiful island of Malta. And so they're looking for tenders right now. The government of Malta is actually looking for people to apply to set up a cannabis bar. Now, one of the things is you got one of the people you need to have has to have lived there for 5 years.
Keep going.
I'm sure there's somebody that, yeah. I mean,
we actually have two fraternity brothers that have lived there for 5 years, Craig. But that's what? Right. What?
It sounds like, right. It sounds like a new great place for a weed motel.
New episode coming up.
Yeah.
But the idea.
I'm packing my bags.
Malta, yeah. I mean, gambling. They push
good
a lot of
scuba dive in there, apparently.
Well, your bags are packed. Dogs do not like scuba diving. But so let's talk about this idea that Malta, right, is looking at legitimizing a cannabis bar and legitimizing for tourism cannabis smoking and potentially cannabis beverages, what they are pushing on. Is this not a pretty good first in our
absolutely.
World that we're talking about?
Absolutely, and it'll be a good example for others to see how it's going, how it's been done, or the pros and cons.
What would you be ideal if you were in Malta, if you were to set up an ideal canvas bar? What would it be? Yeah, let's just go a little crazier, boys. Let's just throw it out here. Sean and Craig, let's throw it out. What would your canvas bar in Malta be? What would you like to do?
Yeah, I'm kind of more of a loungy type person, you know, something that would serve food as well. You don't have a small stage, you get DJs in, nothing, but not we're not talking Ibiza type thing, you know, more just like, you know, DJs, good
mini
entertainment.
Ibiza. Yeah. Mini Ibiza, a little taste of Ibiza, yeah.
A mini, yeah. Yeah. And you know, maybe some, you know, some rooms to pass out in after.
And cannabis-infused cocktails and food as well, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and again, I think to your point, weed.
What? Oh, my God. Guys, don't reveal my identity.
Slip.
Oh, my God.
I was saying it's, you know, it's like the truffle oil, right? I mean, let's not go over the top. I mean, not every single thing is going to have to be stuck with cannabis, right? I mean, I think the biggest thing is if you can open something that you can have a blend of, you can serve, you know, regular cocktails, you can serve, you know, cannabis cocktails, you can have, you know, you can have just nuts without, you know, some sort of cannabis product on it. I mean, it would be nice, right? I mean, I think there's an overboard type of approach as well. I think it's the nuance of adding cannabis to something that makes it appealing. I think it's when you just try to make it all about it and there's nothing else. Again, I think you limit your audience. You know, you don't have to have one audience. People should have variety and choice when they go out.
Yeah, I think that's called the can-a biz, right? It's not the business. It's like the cannot. It's like it's the opposite. You're right. It's like it's cannabis, but it's not. It's cannabis is there, but it's not.
Great. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
no, I like the lounge idea, Sean. But like you're saying, you should you know, make it accessible to different people's tastes. For me, I'd love to have a chill out area, you know, hammocks and tie pillows and that kind of vibe as well. Maybe have a reggae band playing. And that's,
I hear that. Especially with this new Bob Marley movie coming out. It made me think about that. That sounds good.
Oh, is there? Is there?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, that's the kind of beach vibe I associate with it.
I'm the same, like a nice chilled, you know, just relaxed Malta vibe. But also, you know, Britain showcasing its military might with missiles being fired across Europe and displays of gunships of British power to say, this is Malta. You're not touching us. I was just kidding.
No, but I think we don't have
military might to do that.
You can combine all this. You can have a supper club, beach club, right? So you can have a beach club by day that turns into a supper club at night.
Yeah. No, I think the idea of different areas you can go to get different vibes. Yeah. And different restaurants, even different entertainment. Maybe you have like a cabaret kind of thing. I think
it's a benefit of having ideal being on an island and having this sort of vista, and also a government that supports the development of it. You know, where else mm-hmm. you get that? All right. We're going to end the podcast. And one of the things we talked about on the website, and I wanted to bring up, pot movies. Yeah, everyone talks about, what is the best pot movie? What's the best pot movie? And what's the best stoner movie? I don't know if you guys have ever classified stoner movies. Do you have one, Craig or Sean? Do you have
I grew up with Cheech and Chong. So, I mean,
if I threw a few out at you, though. And it, like, because there's a few you might think it's like, oh, they're actually not weed movies, but they are.
Okay.
So let's think, like, the Big Lebowski. Who's watched that? Sean, you watched that?
Years ago.
I've never seen that.
You have?
Years
Friday.
Ago.
You guys ever but watched did... Friday?
No.
Friday, Big Lebowski. No. Sorry, Sean. Craig, you want to say?
No. Yeah, years ago, I saw it.
Pineapple Express.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Dude, Where's My Car?
Yep.
What did you? Because I remember watching that, and I didn't like it when I first watched it. But it was one of those hungover movies where you're like sitting on that couch, it's like, man, this thing is melting my brain. I didn't want to like it, but I liked it.
It feels like, and I can't recall, but it feels like Hot Tub Time Machine was also one of those movies.
Yeah, that's a good call. It really is. Yeah. How High? See that one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No.
Knocked Up. They consider that a weed movie.
I haven't seen that.
Well, I've been out of the movie circuit.
Sitcoms that are modern, but modern sitcoms like The 70s Show, that was definitely a weed show.
Yes. And there was that other one, Kathy Bates, that one. Was it Baked or Weed?
Weeds. That was a good one.
Yeah. Well, I saw that. That was.
How about the Richard Linklater movie, Dazed and Confused? Remember that one?
Yeah. Sure. Classic.
My favorite one, I'm going to throw it out, and it's my favorite weed movie, We're the Millers. Do you ever see We're the Millers?
No.
Yeah.
Jason Sudeikis, Jennifer Aniston, and basically he's got to pretend to be drug dealers, and they've got to go down to Mexico, get a Winnebago full of weed, and come back. You haven't seen it?
No. Missed
neither
that.
Of you oh, guys have.
Maybe. Maybe I did.
Were you so stoned? You
was
don't
there
remember?
Some? Was there some kind of? Was Jennifer Aniston stripping at some time?
Hopefully.
Was she not? I mean, no, she was.
Different
was
movie. Then.
No, this was the movie, but definitely a good movie. Your Highness, which was I saw parts of it. You ever see this
great
one?
Great name.
Was like, it was
a great name.
It was Danny McBride was in it. It was just. There were some movies that just try, you know, they just try too much. It's like, it's going to be a stoner movie. And you're like, but Cheech and Chong, those are the good ones.
Yeah, no, that's my top of the list would be them.
Next episode, we'll talk about cocaine movies. Cause we won't. Those Johnny
it's,
Depp.
It's pretty much it's in every modern movie now. If someone's not doing cocaine, they're not having fun.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty blatant, isn't it? That
but let's be honest,
cocaine usage is—it's unbelievable how blatant cocaine usage is in movies these days. How it's
sorry, what'd you say? Sorry, what? Yeah, it is. that was me. Audio snorting coke, by the way. I don't know if they came across.
I think you got to get better.
We're getting a few steps ahead of. We are.
It's episode two. You know, so working on.
Please welcome to Kenny Coke.
Audio visual cues. That's how we do. We got an old timey radio, and that's where you're doing some cocaine from the 2023s.
You got to get your nose right on that table though, and go right across. You know.
That's what she said.
I think it's about time to wrap it up.
I do want to say is if anyone in talking about these weed movies, Reefer Madness. I want you guys. If you guys seen Reefer Madness,
this is your homework.
Oh yeah, right. Yes.
Look at it. Watch it again. And by next episode, we're going to talk about it because it's nuts. And it basically details what it's like if people go nuts off the reefer. What a good thing to talk about. Folks, we're just learning on these episodes, and we're very thankful. I'm thankful to have my two great friends to talk about the weed business. We know things are growing. We know there's a big cannot in this business. And we want to have some fun conversations about it. Sean, Craig, a great conversation. Yes. Folks, if you have any things you want to contact us, please do. We really appreciate it. This is Kenny Biz.
I said, no, I really smoked it. And I also inhaled, unlike some people claim.